Join us also. Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
And we're back here from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant, the Prentice Awesome Heating and Air Coach's Corner, and Coach Philip Shadolin joins us. And, Coach, we've been promised a little extra time today. You know, Brian goes over on his interviews all the time. But
I tell you the truth, I thought maybe there for a minute we wasn't going to be on the air. I didn't know. I thought Greg had his time and my time, too. I didn't know.
That's what they said about us a couple of weeks ago, and I had to take the abuse. But, Coach, five in a row, I think now, right? Is that if you're gonna start peaking, this is a good time to do it, I would think.
It is a good time to be playing your best football, and our kids have really, really played well, practiced well, and just continue to improve throughout the year, and so it's a good time to be playing good football, and you know, we certainly need to be playing at this time of year.
The Cole Knotgrass just seems to be getting better and better and better as the season progresses. And usually, you know, you can see some fatigue or something, but this kid seems like he's clicking on all cylinders right now. 221 yards, 4 TDs on 15 carries, and broke some big ones.
Absolutely. The first play of the game, toss sweep for, I don't know, 70 yards or whatever it was, and had some big plays last night, which obviously means we also blocked well. You know, fullback blocked well, line blocked well, receivers down the field, all those things. And probably could have ran, you know, we didn't run him a whole bunch in the second half at all, so probably, you know, probably could have ran for 400 yards, you know, but didn't run D a ton last night because he plays all the time on defense and wasn't really a need for that. So, but Cole had a good game last night. He really had a good year for us, and you know, we kind of went tailback by committee with those two, and you know, but you put those two together going into last night, I think they had about 1,200 yards. You know, so our tailback positions had about 1,200 yards, you know, in 10 football games this year. So that's been a productive position for us, and we have a lot of confidence in both those kids.
And when you run the ball well, good things happen in the air. I know they probably stacked you, probably came up in the line of scrimmage, and then Chase kind of burned them a little bit too.
Had a couple long balls that we completed, one to Stiles quarter for a touchdown, and then we had another long one to Stiles for about 40 or 50 yards, I guess. I hadn't even seen the stats. I hadn't looked at the paper this morning yet, but they did start crowding the box, of course, like a lot of people do against us. And, you know, even though Quindell Cousins didn't play last night because he tweaked his knee last week in the regular season. And but Stiles stepped in and made some big plays for us last night in the throw game. And Chase got the ball where it needed to be. And we made some big plays really in all aspects of the game. You know, we made some big plays in pretty much every area of the game. And that's what you want to do. You want to be playing well in all three phases. And I thought last night we did that.
Scored early, playoff time. That's important, isn't it? I would think to and also to answer their scores, you know, always come back. The momentum is so huge in those playoff games.
Absolutely, it is. And I told my coaches last night that when we got back, that I'm not sure it was a great idea to score the first play of the game against a team that you're favored against a team that is 5-5, and even though you've preached all week long about staying focused, playing 48 minutes, respect everybody, bad things happen in the playoffs, somebody's going to get upset the first round, which last night somebody, some 4-6 team beat a 10-0 team last night. You preach all those things, and then on the first offensive play of the game, you run toss sweep for 70.
Kind of throws out what you said a little bit.
It does, and you start worried about them losing focus, yeah. You know, and I thought we did at times. I didn't, you know, we played a good game, but we didn't play a particularly focused game, I didn't think, at times. We got called for like 5 holding calls.
Penalties were rampant, I think.
Absolutely, drove me crazy. And some of that goes when you're ahead, you're more apt to get penalties called against you. And that's just subconsciously in an official's mind. I mean, I've refereed basketball for a while. You know, I know how that works. And so it seems
it's like... It's not intentional. No.
It's not intentional. It's just like, well, that team's winning by a bunch, or that's a pain. Like, I watched last night, we got called for a holding call when Kyron Jones came off the ball and absolutely drove a kid probably 15 yards down the field and pancaked him. As good a block as he's made in his career at Blackman High School, and he got called for a hold. Where wasn't a hold there? He just dominated the block, got a kid going backwards and pancaked him, and we ran for 40, and we got called for a hold. And, you know, I mean, but sometimes when you're winning, that happens. And so I thought our kids lost some focus, and at the same time, I mean, we kept playing, and then at the end we got to play a ton of kids there in the last, you know, a quarter and a half or whatever, which is always good, but it gets sloppy, and so you get frustrated, and you're ready for the game to end, and so glad to get a win. glad that we played a solid game, even though we need to be more focused, and are certainly looking forward to moving on to the next round. We're one of 16 teams that get to move on in 6A football, and so that's an exciting time.
As you go through your career, and you know, I guess I've had the good fortune to follow your career, and with everybody, all the teams you've coached, I don't know what it is. Maybe I don't know. There's an aura, maybe, but playoff time, you always seem to advance, and you always seem, maybe not win it all. You've done that a few times, but you always seem to have your team ready. And you know, even I was talking to Coach Dolans earlier. Coach Adelot. Yeah, thank you. And you're going from there's highs and lows, and you had a low spot, you know, midway through the season, and a lot of people, you know, people start talking, you know, how that goes, and well, I don't know, you know, I don't know if they've got it or whatever. But then you jail, and it just seems like, but that's part of, and we talked about that's part of life, and that's a teaching lesson for your kids, isn't it?
It really is. It's adversity. I mean, and you know, and I know from the ages that we are and the experience that we've been through in life, I mean, adversity is, life is full of adversity. And I think football, and I heard Ron on the way in this morning, I heard some of the things Ron said. You know, life is full of adversity, and football teaches that. There are highs and lows within the course of a practice, within the course of a game, obviously within the course of, you know, the 16 weeks we've been practicing and playing. There's ups and downs and highs and lows, and it's really how you handle adversity is what determines your success, not only in football, not only in whatever sports you may be playing, but in life. I mean, you know, you have choices that you make when things go bad. I mean, your choices are either you kind of fold your tents, take your ball, go home, whatever you want to say, go in the corner and cry, or you continue to battle, understanding there will be better times, you know, and if you learn that lesson, then when you go through those ups and downs that life will give you, I think you're better able to handle that. I mean, we're all going to lose things in our life, whether it's, you know, you're going to lose a parent, you know, obviously we're all going to die someday. You're going to lose somebody that you love. You're going to have a bad relationship. You're going to lose a job. And you have to keep on going. I mean, you know, people are dependent on you when you get to be an adult like you and I, and your family depends on you. So when things go bad, you have to be strong enough to continue on. I think football teaches that better than anything I've ever been a part of. And I've been blessed enough to play, you know, football, baseball, and basketball growing up. And I just feel like that with the, I guess, the brutality maybe sometimes of our sports, you know, as physical it is and all the demands. And I just think football teaches that lesson as well or better than anything I've ever been a part of. And
well, you have about a how many kids you have? Over 100 and
right now with our varsity, I think we moved up 6 freshmen. We've got about 110 or 11 that are dressing out right now with us.
And they're a team. They're just as important. Everybody on that team, you know, that's what I think the beauty of football. I didn't mean to get off on that, but it is important. And you've got kids that step up. Chase has stepped up. You know, there's D that can play offense and defense, but he's so valuable on defense. He knows the team concept, doesn't he?
He does, absolutely. Last week he ran the ball exceptionally well in week 10. I mean, he had a great night running the ball. Last night I ran him a little bit early, alternating him and Cole, but there was not a need. I mean, they were throwing the ball a ton. I mean, I just didn't need that. And we were scoring relatively quickly. Cole wasn't tired. You know, I didn't need that. I ran Charlie Davidson some last night, too, there in the third quarter. But he is a team guy. And the thing that I'm so proud of this bunch, and D is one of those on the top of that list, is that when we went to 3-3 after losing back-to-back, really we lost to Siegel, whatever that was, the third game of the year, then you win a game against whoever, and then you lose to Oakland and Bradley back-to-back. There were so many people that not only wrote us off, but it was almost like I told you, and what they were telling, what they meant by that is I told you when Octavius left that you wouldn't be very good. You know, and that's what our kids thought. And they didn't say that, but I knew that. And that's D's brother.
Yeah.
You know, and here D is, a senior, is a good football player. And you kind of take that personal. And our kids kind of took that personal. And as great a teammate and as great a leader and as great a player as Octavius Mathers was, I mean, Itavius would tell you, there's a whole lot more to our football team in the past than just Itavius Mathers in the years past. But when we went to 3-3, everybody was kind of like, I told you, he wouldn't be very good when he left. Well, our kids took that personal, decided to do something about it, continued to work, and now here we are, 8-3, one of 16 teams getting ready to play in the second round of the playoffs. And I'm proud of all our team, especially D. Mathers, for being able to continue to fight through that.
Just an example of a team player, D. Mathers. Talking about, I want to mention Anthony Fiorella.
Fiorella.
And he had a great night. And something that, you know, tackles and nose guards, they don't get an opportunity to do a lot of. And tell us a little bit about that play.
Senior kid who plays very limited minutes, plays some on special teams, very little on the defensive line. Excuse me, sorry about that. But we had an injury last night, and we kind of held a kid out some, and so they kind of tweaked the knee. So we put Anthony in, got some reps in the first half, and then we had him in the third quarter, I think, when this happened. And, you know, they're running tunnel screens and middle screens, and they're trying to, you know, do something to, I guess, to counter our pass rush or whatever. And so we've worked on that a lot in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And here's a kid who never really played much football until he got to high school at all, and don't think he played as a freshman even for us. I think he came out his sophomore year and has played very little but practices hard every day. And has bought into the fact that our kids are all in. That's what we've sold our team on, that we're all together, we're all in this thing. And he's worked hard every day, works a ton on scout team for us, is a backup player on defense, and he retraced his steps just like he had been coached to do on a screen. They let him go. He retraced his steps. They threw middle screen. He jumped up and caught it on about the 14, 15-yard line and ran straight ahead and drug about four in into the end zone. And you would have thought we just won the Super Bowl on our sideline, because our kids understand that there's a kid who hadn't played a ton for us, but is a kid that's a team guy all the way, and that is a lifetime highlight.
He'll always remember.
Athletically for that kid, he'll always remember that. Yeah. That won't be the highlight of his life, I mean, because it's just a game. But athletically, it'll be the highlight of his athletic career, probably. And it was a big play for us. He put the game away.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it said the game's over. And so I can't tell you how proud I am of him. And his dad just had open-heart surgery about 3 weeks ago. Suddenly, you know, had a heart attack. And so he's been recovering from that. And his dad got to be there last week at senior night. So what a great moment for that kid. And our team was, I can't tell you how excited our sideline was when that happened.
It's a great moment for a kid like that, just that 1 second, that one brief, I guess, moment in glory, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And that fish story will get bigger and bigger. When he's 40,
yeah.
When he's 40, you know, when he tells his kids about it, it'll get even bigger than it was. It'll be the game winner or whatever, you know? But what a great play he made, and I can't tell you how happy. Our staff was talking about that this morning. You know, a bunch of us up there this morning in the office working, and that was brought up again this morning. That last night you almost wanted to cry, because you know how much that kid has battled. He's had some knee injuries too, and his dad being sick, and you know, I mean, and then he's able to make a play in a playoff game, and not only make a play, but he's able to run it in the end zone and drag everybody in to score. What a great moment for that kid.
That's a great moment for you too, isn't it, really? I mean, you sit there and you think about it and you go, you'll remember that play as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's rewarding. I mean, you want to see kids who have just been great teammates. And that's what I encourage our kids to do, whether you're playing one play, no plays, every play, whatever. Be a great teammate. He's been a great teammate the whole time he's been there. He's been a great kid the whole time he's been there with us, and to see him rewarded with the opportunity and the chance to make that kind of play, you know, very rewarding for him, but also rewarding for all our coaches and certainly me.
Talking to Coach Philip Shadowins of the Blackman Blaze. Yeah, Philip Shadowins, not Ron Adelock.
Right.
I got that right.
Ron's a little better looking than I am. I think he thinks so.
the game you're here is same territory. You know, you've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
You've been you've been an underdog. You've also been the favorite. I would think that you're going to come in here as an underdog, but you've been there before. You don't worry about that, do you?
No. Not at all. Been there before, and that don't really matter. That don't have anything to do with the 48 minutes that you play on Friday. Because, you know, whether you're favored by 20 or the underdog by 20, whether you played 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, you know, 3 days ago, doesn't matter either. Anything that's happened before doesn't affect what happens Friday night. Our kids understand that, and our kids all understand, have a lot of respect for Sieg. Our kids understand, you know, what kind of players they have. They know their kids, obviously. I mean, in our community in Murfreesboro, you know, everybody knows everybody, and so our kids know their kids and know what kind of football players they have and what kind of kids they have. They have good kids and very likable kids, and, you know, that's all great. But Friday night at 7 o'clock, none of that stuff will really matter because both teams will be focused on 48 minutes that are in front of us, not the 48 minutes that are behind us. And it doesn't really matter who's the favorite. It doesn't really matter if you won one game this year, if you won 50 games this year. None of that affects the 48 you're getting ready to play. So that's how we'll approach the week. We won't do anything special. We'll keep preparing the way we have every week. All of a sudden, because you play a team that's really good, doesn't change how you prepare. We're going to prepare the same way for Seagulls we prepared for Cookeville, the same way for Seagulls we prepared for Riverdale and Brentwood and everybody else we've played this year. So hopefully our results will be better than we played the first time. We certainly expect them to be better. Our kids will go in the game with a lot of confidence, and I'm sure their kids will go in the game being 11-0 with a lot of confidence. And it should be fun. You know, it's that great game that everybody wants to come watch, you know, in the playoffs. And we seem like in our county, whether it's us or whether it's, you know, Oakland or Seagull or Riverdale, we all have been in those playoff games in this county in the last 4 years, really way before then. But since I've been at Blackman, I know the last 4 years, you know, we've had great ones with Smyrna. We've had some with Riverdale with huge games. I know Oakland's had big ones. And, you know, we've all had those big games, and it'll be one that everybody wants to come to. And, you know, it'll be a fun game, you know. You know, we didn't challenge them the last time we played. And, I mean, early on, I guess we played okay. But we did a lot of bad things, turned the ball over, and things you can't do against Siegel. You can't do against anybody that's any good. I mean, you know, it's not that you can't do them against Siegel. I mean, you can't do them against anybody. I mean, the games we've lost, if we went back and backtracked and looked at the games that we've lost this year, we turned the ball over. And we turned the ball over a ton against Siegel, turned the ball over a ton against Oakland, turned the ball over a ton against Bradley Central. I think 6 against Bradley Central. Well, you can't beat anybody, you know, when you turn it over. So,
you've got to take care of yourself, I think is what you're saying. I mean, if you're not going to have a chance to win if you don't.
No, I mean, you know, everybody, you know, you'd be surprised at the calls you get. Everybody thinks they have an answer for something, and you know, and you very nicely say, "No, thank you. I don't really care what you think." I mean, you don't want to be. I'm not being ugly about that, but we're going to do what we do. We're not going to come up with some new scheme. I mean, we're 8-3 and won 5 games in a row and beat, you know, some really good teams in those 5 games. Not because we went up and devised some special defense every week or some special offense. I mean, we're going to do what we do. And hopefully we're going to do it better than they do what they do. And if we do, we'll win. But we're not going to – you don't reinvent the wheel or reinvent the game every Friday night because you play somebody else. I mean, you make them deal with what you do, they'll try to make us deal with what they do. I mean, there'll be tweaks on both sides of the ball, and, you know, they'll have answers for what we do, and we'll try to have answers for what they do. But we're going to go out and be Blackman. We're going to go out and do what we do. And we certainly feel like that has a chance to be good enough. We're going to find out, though.
Trying to read your mind, you've been in big games before, a lot of them.
Yes.
You know, championship caliber. And this is a game that's critical. I mean, they all are now. And I always feel like I think you like sometimes being the underdog. I don't think it bothers you at all. I think sometimes you feel almost that's an advantage to some point.
Yeah, I don't know if any of that affects it when the game starts at 7. But I like the fact that people don't think you have a chance. I mean, you know, it kind of irritates you, you know, to be honest with you. And I guess I like coaching with an edge. I don't know. I mean, I
gets the adrenaline pumping.
It's kind of insulting. I mean, yeah. It kind of insults our kids. We got a bunch of good football players. I mean, we got a lot of good football players on our football team. And for everybody to already have told some of our people that, well, it's been a great year. I heard that last night. And, you know, instead of hitting them, you just kind of walk off and say thanks. I mean, that's your choice. If you need to do something stupid, you can walk off and say thanks. I mean, but it's been a great year. Okay. Yeah, it has been. And we're still playing, by the way, in case you forgot. We got a game next week, you know, and that's insulting. And that's kind of the attitude that a lot of people have right now when it comes to this game. Hey, you've had a great year. You know, you're 3-3 and you're 8-3 now. You're going to end up 8-4. Great year. Really? I like that. I like having people doubt you, and our kids have kind of rallied to that because there's been a lot of that, and we're blessed with good kids that work really, really hard. And I've coached more athletic teams, but I hadn't coached any that work any harder. I hadn't coached any that buy in anymore. I hadn't coached any that are together as a team and united any more than that. And I've coached for a long time. And so because of all those things, we'll probably go ahead and show up at 7 o'clock Friday night just to make sure our season's over. But we're gonna show up ready to play. And
I know Greg thinks. I know Greg knows you're going to be ready to play. That's for sure. That's one that doesn't think that. So
yeah. I'm sure. I mean, you know, obviously he's a coach. Greg's been around a long time. Does a great job. Done a heck of a job at Siegel. Him and his staff and they got great football players, and they've done a great job of coaching those kids. And I like their kids. I mean, there's not better kids probably than the Stockstill kid and Tay Martin and those kids that you get to talk to when you go to other ball games. You go to basketball games or baseball games, and you see those kids. So I have a lot of respect for Siegel and their program.
It's a great battle. It's going to be a great game. I just hate that it's happening, that somebody's going to have to go home. That's the negative about all of it, really.
It is, and it's not just us. It's negative that McMinn County played Bradley Central last night. That's 1-2 in their region. It's, you know, and they played Week 10 for the region championship and had to play again in Week 1. It's the wrong way to do state playoffs. Not because we're playing Siegel or not because of any of that stuff. It's just the wrong way for everybody. It's not state playoffs aren't state playoffs when you play the same teams. And when Oakland has to play Siegel in round one of these state playoffs, then it's not state playoffs anymore.
Right.
That's not state playoffs. Right. I mean, that's the county playoffs.
Right.
You know, that's
right.
Not state playoffs anymore. And that's what I don't like about it. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not getting involved in all that stuff. We just play the teams they put in front of us, and we've had a great year so far.
Well, Coach, I got to get there early now because I think it's going to be a huge, huge crowd. I know Blackman's going to come out in force, and Siegel's got great crowds, so it should be a great atmosphere. And if you love football, that's the game. I think that'd be the game I'd play anywhere. I'd have to come watch because anywhere in the state coming next week.
I would think so. That is it's a game that obviously there's one big favorite and one big underdog, but in the county, never know what's going to happen. And I'm excited for our kids to prepare. They're excited about it. They were excited about it last night, and we'll have a great week of practice, and we'll be ready to play Friday night at 7 o'clock. And we'll hope that's good enough.
All right, we'll see you there, Coach.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
You'll be in the same spot. We'll always say hi on the way to the concession stands.
Absolutely. Buy me a hot dog if you don't mind.
I can do it. Coach Phillip Shadowins of the Blackman Blaze, and he'll be battling the Siegel Stars coming up this Friday night. 7 o'clock is game time, and we'll be on the air at 6 o'clock on Friday night. When we come back, we're going to be talking to the Oakland Patriots. That's Brian Baird as we continue the Prentice Office of Pig and Air Coach's Corner.